Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Every summer I went to camp, I would sign up to go canoeing. It was not because I enjoyed the peace of being on the water. It was not because I enjoyed exploring the inlets and the coves and was in awe when the fish would break the surface to have a snack. I was a kid. I was really not in my head too much thinking about connection with creation or a right relationship with the world. I went canoeing because when the whistle blew at 45 minutes, we were allowed to tip our canoes and swim in the lake. And I loved swimming in the lake. But there was a downside, and I can't emphasize this enough. I highly dislike, maybe even feared, letting my feet touch the bottom of the lake. Could not stand the mystery of what my feet were touching. There were leaves and sticks and gunk and mud, and that speech about snapping turtles was always in the back of my mind. As long as I was away from that gunky bottom, I was good, and I was near the sandy beach. And so we played all sorts of games on the lake. And there was one game in particular called Rocket Ship. With life preservers and consent, Rocket Ship was when you push someone down and then you would put your feet on their shoulders and push them even further down. And so you would just ignite the booster engines and launch them as far as you could below the surface. And it was just good old summer fun. And I can remember being the rocket, beginning at the warm surface level of the lake, and then feeling the coldness as I was launched way below. And then came the summer where I was a counselor and old enough to remove my life vest. The whistle blew, we all got in the water, and we went to play rocket ship, which had now become a tradition. Only this time without a life vest and with my buddy who was a cross-country runner. When he ignited the boosters and shot me down, I went down and down and down, a much deeper and a much colder lake than I ever thought possible. And then, squish. Feet right in the gunky bottom. And in a frenzied panic, I shot up to the surface, racing for the air. And when I got to the surface, first thing I screamed was, "I touched the bottom!" But that was it. My heart was just racing. Could have been a snapping turtle down there. Psalm 139 says, "Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to Sheol, the grave, the bottom of Lake Manitowoc, you would be there too." God surrounds the psalmist at all times, not just when they are high on life, but even when they feel buried and sinking, lifeless. Psalm scholars believe that this psalm was written after Judah's exile to Babylon, after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and with it the fragmentation of their culture and their way of life. The psalmist, like all of us that go through trials, whether small or big, return to those basic questions: who am I and what am I to do? One could read the psalm and hear the words of someone that has it all put together and is deeply aware of their connection with God, but I wonder if their continued reassurance of God's presence was precisely because they needed to. They had to repeat it over and over again so that they would believe it, so that they could push away any doubt and that they could settle in on the truth. God surrounds me. God is in front of me. God is behind me. And so they turn to God, who knows them, and can remind them who they are. The repetition of the Hebrew word yada, translated to know, appears 7 times in this psalm. God knows them through and through, not just where they have been, but what they have been through. The psalmist acknowledges that God knows the depth of their being more than they even know themselves. This is a knowledge too wonderful, too grand, too encompassing that the psalmist admits, I can't know what you know, God. It's just too much. And God fully sees them, and God fully knows them. Many may struggle with this God. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if you don't want it. It seems God's presence is inescapable, always with us, whether we let God in or not, and that may make us uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable sometimes. We would rather have God up in heaven or only paying attention to how much offering we give or patting ourselves on the back for not yelling at the waiter that got our order wrong. That God stays away and pops up on Sunday morning or in prayer before bed. We can convince ourselves that we are always good, perfect, never really needing to better ourselves. However, in Psalm 139, God fully knows us. Not only where we have been, but knows our thoughts, our judgments, our little competitions. We play with those around us to be better than a colleague, more put together than our brother or sister, to be more successful than an old classmate, or more religious than someone else in church we may have issues with. God knows all of it, even when we are unaware. God knows when we launch our words at one another like missiles, especially with those closest to us, like our friends and family, when our words are not meant to heal, but when we want those words to hurt. God knows that we often worship our own privilege and power and put any attempt to address those who are suffering with any degree of integrity. God knows when we are not building bridges, but about making our own island. God knows when our hearts are not set on peace, but on superiority. God knows that hurt people hurt people. God knows that people that feel judged often judge others. God knows our depth, the mysterious and frightening insecurities and judgments that muck on the bottom of the lake. You know, the stuff we can't see, but when you sink into it, you shoot up as quick as you can. And God feels our heart racing, even when we try to act like everything is okay. Many of us have been taught that this is the God that keeps score and gives gold stars or demerits. But in Psalm 139, God doesn't do that at all. God's presence and knowing is not to condemn, but to guide and to hold. Verse 10 says, if I could fly on wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean. In other words, if I just take off, God, and try to make sure you can't catch up with me. The psalmist says, even there, your hand will guide me. Even there, you will hold me tight. God's racing, chasing, searching for them in the midst of chaos, in the midst of darkness. Why? To just hold them. Just hold them. To just hold you. God plunges down into the muck and is with them. And this seems to be the good news Jesus and Paul knew as well. Through Jesus, God reaches out and searches for the lost sheep, the forgotten, the marginalized. God knows them and wants to hold them. Psalm scholar Clint McCann says that the entire psalm up until this point is only a foundation for the very end. After realizing God knows who they are and holds them, the psalmist comes to this liberating realization. If God knows me so well, if God knows things about me that I cannot, then if I trust God, I can live who I really am. Verse 23 through 24 says, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Then guide me on a path to new life." And so they welcome God into their life because God knows them, because God knows us. God knows when we are not the people God made us to be. And God alone knows the way that will liberate us to be who we truly are in God. Will we make mistakes? Yes. Will we use words to hurt instead of heal? Oh, yeah. Will we get defensive and abrasive to protect our privilege and power? Yes. But here's the thing. With God, we can say, "I'm sorry." With God, we can forgive. With God, we can strive for justice and a more equitable world. Because with God, we know who we really are. And when we let go and let God, we are free to be ourselves. Whether you want compassion or not, God is with you. God has been with you. And it is God who brings us into new life. Do not fear the deep water, for God is with you. Amen. Amen.